The shiur that we're going to be giving tonight is about a very unique topic, a topic which is not relevant on a regular basis. It's particularly going to be relevant again in 20 years' time. That's going to be when I'm going to be 20 years into the Gula Mitzvah Shlema with the coming of Mashiach speedily nowadays. And the last time this was relevant was just 4 years ago. So it's a very, very rare occurrence that we have Erev Pesach on Shabbos. But we just had it 4 years ago. We're going to have it again in Mitzvah Shem in 20 years. And I don't want to go through all the halachas of Pesach. We know that's a lot of halachas, but I'm specifically going to focus only on those things that are relevant to Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. Generally, for Hilchas Pesach, you can consult the standard luach, the guides, the halachic guide from the Beis Din, and there will be the halachas about Erev Pesach too. I will mention that the Rebbe several times said regarding a year, which Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, how it's important to learn. There's a lot of halachas. There's things that we have to do before Shabbos because we can't do them on Shabbos. There's things that are not malacha, but we're still not allowed to do on Shabbos because we're preparing from Shabbos to the weekday. And not everybody knows all these details. The Rebbe suggested that Rabbanim should publicize these halachas, not only in Hebrew, but also in other languages. There's halachas that have to do with Pesach, there's halachas that have to do with Shabbos, and we have to make sure we accomplish everything the right way. When it comes to practical halacha, and you have to know what to do, and it comes an Erev Pesach that falls on a Shabbos, you can't call a Rav, because on Shabbos you can't call. This is not my words, this is a quote from the Rebbe. And you can't know in advance all the questions that are going to come up throughout Shabbos. And if it's a halacha that you need to do, Shulchan Aruch Eirei Chaim, it affects the person himself because he's not going to know what to do. And he can't say he's going to learn at a different time. These halachas that is this year specifically relevant, whether you like it or not. And therefore, it's important to go through all these halachas. When the Rebbe spoke about it, the Rebbe made a comment and he said, it's particularly relevant for, not for the simple people, because the simple people, they're actually going to open a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, or they're going to open a short book which is translated to English. And if they keep on hearing all about it on the calendar, it's Erev Pesach falls on a Shabbos, he's going to check up and learn all the halachas. But the great leaders and the special people, they're embarrassed to go and sit and learn a concise summary of the code of Jewish law. So they certainly have to sit and learn halachas properly, otherwise they're not going to know. So I mentioned before, this is a very rare occurrence. In fact, in the Gemara, we have a story that it was an Erev Pesach that fell out on Shabbos, and the B'nai B'Seda, the rabbis, did not know what the halacha is, what to do in the Beis HaMikdash. Mefarshim say the reason they didn't know what the halacha was because it wasn't a very common occurrence. It was very unusual. We know that the year when Yidden came out of Mitzrayim, the second year from when they came out of Mitzrayim, the year when they built the Mishkan, Erev Pesach was on Shabbos. The Pesach, when Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael, they came to Eretz Yisrael right before Pesach, we call that Pesach Gilgal, was also Erev Pesach on Shabbos. But otherwise, it's not a very common occurrence. Throughout the Rebbe's Nasiyas, there were several years out of Pesach and Shabbos, just a couple of times. There was particular sikhs about it. We will reference those wherever relevant. Another interesting thing to point out before we start the shir, as an introduction, that it says in many Svarim that this year is a particular Eis Ratzon regarding the Gula HaMitzvah V'Hashlema. So let me go through a couple of things about how the change of this year, how this is relevant, different than all other years. First of all, the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha is different this year, because normally Shabbos HaGadol is on air. Shabbos HaGadol is said at the Shabbos before Pesach. The Rav says it's Drasha, but the Sfarim say that this year the Drasha is supposed to be a week early because the Shabbos is on air of Pesach. No one's coming to listen to the Drasha. Number one, and number two, the Drasha might not be relevant anymore. Also, the date for Tainus Bechiras, when the firstborn have to fast, it's usually on air of Pesach. This year, it's not going to be on Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach is on Shabbos. So it's going to be on the Thursday, on the 12th of Nisan. The sale of chametz is different than any other year. When we go to the Rav to have our chametz being sold, so we need to make sure we do that before. Usually the cutoff time is Erev Pesach, which is a bad idea to wait to the last minute. But Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, and the Rav is going to be busy selling his chametz on Friday, the 13th of Nisan instead of on the 14th of Nisan. We're not going to be searching for chametz the night before Erev Pesach. We're going to be searching the night before Thursday night. And we're not going to be burning chametz on Erev Pesach. We're going to be burning chametz a day before on Friday. With beer chametz, happens slightly differently. Bir chametz means that we this destruction of chametz and nullifying the chametz. So though we burn the chametz on Friday, we make sure we leave some food for Shabbos, and the rest of the food we get rid of on Shabbos at a Pesach before the Zman. Bittel chametz is a statement, that a declaration that we're nullifying our chametz. That statement is usually said twice, once after we finish Bedikas chametz, and once after we burn our chametz. This time it's slightly different. It's said after we do the Bedikas chametz on Thursday night, and we say it on Shabbos, and that's a bit difficult to remember because it's not together with doing anything. It's not while we're burning the chametz on Shabbos after we finish our meal before the Zman Isser. And of course, the whole Shabbos Suda is done totally differently. We have a very early Shachris, early Suda. Our primary meal is some Pesach food. We have a very small amount of challah that we eat. And we make sure none of that challah is left after the time we can't have challah anymore. And in Mitzvah Shemi, Yemei Samashir is going to be happening very soon. There's also a lot of other halachas about this kviyas. That I gave the general outline how things are different based on this calendar. Now I want to go through bit by bit. So the Shabbos before Erev Pesach, the Shabbos that I said the rabbis give their drasha, that Shabbos is Zayin Nissen. Now the unique thing of having a Zayin Nissen on Shabbos is the same exact as in the year when they consecrated the Mishkan, where the Nasiim brought Karbanos every single day of Chodesh Nissen, which is why we say the Nasi every single day in Chodesh Nissen. And on Shabbos, Zayin Nissen, we're going to be saying the Nasi of Vayom HaShvi, so everything matches up beautifully. Zayin Nissen is on Shabbos, the same as the year of the Mishkan. Other than that, the Shabbos is a very routine Shabbos, if you can use the word routine about a Shabbos. Ma'ariv Matzah Shabbos is the Ma'ariv of the week before Pesach. Normally on Matzah Shabbos, if the next week is a Yom Tov, we don't say Vihi Noyam. But in this case, it's not the week of Pesach, because the next week is going to be, next Shabbos is going to be Erev Pesach, and Matzah Shabbos will be Pesach. So on this Matzah Shabbos, we say the regular Vihi Noyam. And of course, it's a good time to start doing Kiddush Levana. In the busy, hectic week before Pesach, people could forget to do the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana. I'm going to be jumping from Thursday, Yud Beis Nissen, from Matzah Shabbos, and jumping to Thursday. I don't have a lot of information to tell you about Sunday, Ches Nissen, Monday, Tes Nissen, Tuesday, Yud Nissen, Wednesday, the special day of Yud Aleph Nissen. I'm going to go to Thursday. Okay, so we're not going to go through the regular halachas associated with Pesach, that you can consult your regular halachic guides, and the same as every other year. But we're going to be discussing the things that are different. People that have false teeth, or people that have retainers, people that have braces, so we often tell them that they're supposed to be doing some form of kashering, rinsing it out with hot water, and I'm not going to go through all those details. But part of the kashering idea, and I just want to talk about how that's different this year, starting with the fact that 24 hours before people quote-unquote kasher their teeth, I don't like using the term kashering the teeth because it's not a regular kashering system, although there was once a rabbi that someone asked him, how are you supposed to kasher your teeth? And he said, you should sit down on the oven, and when you feel the heat in your teeth, then you know that your teeth have been kashered. Now that's what's said in jest, that's not the real way of kashering. So back to what we were saying. So it's a form of kashering because we rinse it out the best way possible in as strong as hot water as we can handle. So prior to that, we shouldn't be eating hot or sharp chametz 24 hours prior to that. And since the kashering will be happening on Friday, not on Erev Pesach, the day before Erev Pesach, because we not really shouldn't be kashering, doing a form of kashering on Shabbos, therefore 24 hours earlier is a day early, it was Thursday. That's already relevant for Thursday. Tainus b'chodes. One is not allowed to fast on Shabbos. Because you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos, so the fast is pushed off. Shabbos would have been the ideal time of fasting because Shabbos is Erev Pesach. You can't fast on Shabbos, so we push off or push earlier the fast of Thursday, not Friday. We shouldn't be fasting on Friday either, normal circumstances. And we fast on Yud Beis Nissen, and it's 2 days earlier. Most people don't fast in the Mikasim, so they make a Siyam on Thursday, and whoever's a Bechoda firstborn participates in the Siyam. The question, of course, is that somebody forgot. It's not the regular time of fasting. Normally it's on Erev Pesach. It's 2 days earlier. They might have forgotten to fast. And therefore, the question is, maybe he has to fast on Friday. Some places can say you have to fast on Friday, but it's not really a big deal because today's day and age, we don't fast anyhow. We just have someone making a seam. So let him make a seam on Friday. The only big deal is he's going to have to learn a masechta and finish it. If the person can't make a seam and fasting is too difficult, we'll allow him to get away with it and not fast on Friday. Bedikas Chametz, we spoke about it earlier, but let's go through in detail. When Erev Pesach is on a Shabbos, we can't do Bedikas Chametz the regular time because that's Friday night. Bedikas Chametz could only be done to the light of a candle, and we can't take a candle on a Friday night. It's Muktzah. So the time for Bedikas Chametz has been pushed earlier to a night before to Thursday night. But it's the regular Bedikas Chametz like always, and you make a bracha al bir chametz. Every single place that chametz will be, which is used for chametz, including the place that you're going to be using on Shabbos to eat your Shabbos meal with a tiny bit of chametz, as we'll talk about later, all of those places should be checked for chametz. And all the chametz that you found should be put aside, and the chametz that you're going to be eating should be put aside. And after we finish searching the chametz, we do bittul chametz. Bittul chametz is the declaration of kol chamira, nullifying the chametz. In this case, we nullify any chametz that we didn't find. We did our best to search for chametz, but we might have not found something. The chametz that I know of, that I'm planning to eat tomorrow morning, I'm planning to eat throughout the night, I'm planning to eat on Shabbos, until the time that I'm not trying to nullify. You can't nullify something that you're planning on using, but any chametz that I don't know about, I nullify. A Bechir that was fasting on Thursday, either because he didn't manage to hear a Siyum or because he's extremely religious and he doesn't want to rely on a Siyum, now he has to go do a Bedikas Chametz on Thursday night. It's a bit hard when a person is still fasting. And you're not allowed to eat before Bedikas Chametz. And there could be a lot of room to do Bedikas Chametz. So they have two choices. Either they don't have a proper meal, but they have what we call a te'ima, just a taste. They don't eat bread or mezainis more than the volume of an egg. They can eat all the other types of foods. Or they could just give someone else the job of checking, instruct someone else to check. If the other person does the Bedikas Chametz, the person will be their shliach, their emissary to check the chametz, and they can eat a proper meal, and they don't have to wait and continue the fast until after they finish their Bedikas Chametz. So that was all about Thursday night, and now I'm up to Friday morning. Friday, Erev Shabbos, you'd gimel nissen the yard side of the Tzemach Tzedek. It's a regular shachris on that Friday. Normally on Erev Pesach, we skip out the section of Mizmei L'Soida in Davening after Baruch Shamar because the Korban Toida was not brought on Erev Pesach. The Korban Toida was not brought on Erev Pesach because there's not enough time to eat the breads of the Korban Toida. But this Friday is not Erev Pesach. It feels very much like Erev Pesach because the Malor or Shabbos, but it's not Erev Pesach. Lefa Mizmei L'Soida is recited. Now there is a minig, which is brought actually in the Chabad Luch, Kol Chabad. There's a minig that on Friday already, we stop eating the matzah. You now eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Our minig is we don't eat it from Purim already. But for those who don't have that minig, not to eat starting from Purim. On Friday, we also don't eat matzah. And add to this, this is the important part, the Chabad custom of not eating any of the foods that go into the charoses on the mar on Erev Pesach. So on Erev Pesach, if you would be in the mood of having lettuce or horseradish or apples, pears and nuts, we don't eat that on Erev Pesach in Chabad custom. So the Chabad Chabad Luach writes about a minig not to have it even on Erev Shabbos as well, starting one day earlier. I mentioned earlier about the kashering of the teeth. That's something that's going to be happening on Friday. Kashering of the teeth, the braces, the retainers, all that kind of stuff that will be happening on Friday. Rinsing the mouth with hot water could be done on Shabbos, because it's a normal thing, people rinse their mouth with hot water, but doing a whole formal kashering, that can be problematic if it's done on the Friday. And on Shabbos, later we'll wash our teeth properly, just rinse it all out. Is halacha of Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to do bloodletting on Erev Yom Tov. Erev Shavuos, it's a danger, and Chazal made a rule that all Erev Yom Tov, they shouldn't do bloodletting. A question is if donating blood or blood testing is included. It's not mamish the same as bloodletting in the ancient days, but without going into that, but this is such a concept. And this year, Erev Yom Tov is Shabbos, so that starts already on Erev Shabbos, so there's no urgent need to go do a particular blood test or blood donation or whatever it is, that shouldn't be done on Erev Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch says that when you're cooking food for Shabbos, do not cook food that is chametz, the food that is sticky, that's going to stick to the pot, or going to stick to your plates, because you're not allowed to rinse dishes on Shabbos if you don't need it for Shabbos. So one should not be cooking chametz to food, which are going to get stuck to their pots or to their plates. Now, nowadays, people can use disposable dishes, but still, the minig is not to cook chametz to food that will stick into the disposable stuff. And particularly if you're talking a place where there's no edible, we're going to have a very hard time to clean it. We're going to have a hard time. Some of these disposables you can't throw into the bathroom. Chametz will be spread around. So all these things are not cooked. The bottom line is, the practical meaning is that we prepare all our Shabbos foods, Pesach Degah food, with Pesach Degah Kalim to avoid any type of problems. I'm not talking about matzah. You're not allowed to eat matzah. It's Asr Min Hadin, is forbidden, strictly forbidden to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. But all other Pesach Degah food we eat on the Shabbos. And there's no chametz eaten on the Shabbos except for the challah for Shabbos. Kitnias, legumes, all those things that we're particular about that we don't eat on Pesach, you could cook for Shabbos and you can eat it until the time when we don't eat chametz anymore. Wet matzah, knedlich, that's not a problem either. So if you want to make knedlich, use your chametz in the dishes. Knedlich is not chametz, even though we're stringent and we don't have knedlich throughout Pesach. But for Shabbos, that's fine until this man on Shabbos 11, 10, whatever it is. I'll get to the time in a moment to have it in front of me. Somebody wants to fry their fish or their meat with matzah meal. Gesundheit, before Savzman Achilles Chametz, finish it. And of course, make sure it doesn't get mixed in with your Pesach dishes and your Pesach food and all of that. So when it comes to the Shabbos meal, we do have to have challah. That's part of the Shabbos menu. So the common recommendation is to use pita bread. Pita bread doesn't crumb up. And for our Shabbos meals, Friday night meal, Shabbos morning meal, we'll have pita bread. There is another possibility. Some people really don't like this headache of having chametz in their house or in their backyard or in their veranda on Erev Pesach. So they're looking for other alternatives. So I won't tell you all the alternatives, but I'm not sure those alternatives are much better. You can use egg matzah. Matzah ashira. Halachic language is called rich matzah. Matzah that was kneaded with other liquids, not with water. That is not chametz, and it is matzah. And you're allowed to eat it on Erev Pesach, even though it's matzah, but it's not regular matzah. You can't eat it. The minig of Ashkenazim is that we don't eat any egg matzah on Pesach after the time where you're not allowed to have chametz, but we're talking about for the Shabbos meals, which is before the time where you can't have chametz, Friday night and early Shabbos morning. So people want to use this egg matzah for the Shabbos, because the only problem is that egg matzah is a mezonos. And if you order to use this for hametz and bench, you're going to have to eat a lot of the egg matzah. The volume of four eggs, you have to make sure you're full, and only then can you make chametz and benching. So first of all, you're missing out on the special inyan of having a chametz to get meal on Erev Pesach. But besides that, sometimes the egg matzah is not that practical. An interesting anecdote: when they prepared a guide for Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, a very short guide, Tzach prepared a short guide for people to know, for lay people to know, and people that are religious or not that irreligious. All the halachas in simple English, and they wrote about the Shabbos menu, and the Rebbe wrote a comment, the Rebbe wrote, V'kugel, ? Whatever happened with kugel? So they forgot to mention kugel in the menu. So yes, we make kugel for the Shabbos also, but the kugel doesn't have to be a chametz of a kugel. It could be a pesach of a kugel. We mentioned earlier that the meaning is that we don't cook chametz of a food for the Shabbos. I'm still up to Friday, and we're up to now the Seder of Beer Chametz, the Beer Chametz that we're going to be doing on Friday. So, burning of Chametz happens on Erev Shabbos, earlier than normal. Normal it's on Erev Pesach, which is on Shabbos. We can't burn Chametz on Shabbos, you do it on Friday. Any Chametz that you found during searching Chametz, any extra Chametz, you make sure you have no Chametz left, except for the two meals of Shabbos. And for the two meals of Shabbos that you do have left, make sure you put in a secret, closed-off place. No crumbs, no children should, no children, all the havdal mice should get to it, and it's going to be only used for Shabbos. And we make sure to burn our chametz. For this man is 11:49 in Crown Heights, 11:49 on Friday. Now, really, strictly speaking, there's no real reason to burn the chametz by 11:49 because we're going to be eating chametz afterwards Friday night, Shabbos morning. So what's the big deal? Why are we rushing to burn our chametz before the zman? But in Shulchan Aruch, it's brought, the place can say that it's toiv, it's a good idea to burn at the same exact time as every year. Shouldn't be any michshel. Some people see 1 year we're burning it late. Maybe the next year they'll try to burn it late. And we've had such kind of problems with people that got confused. So the minig is we stick to the regular time. Some people are so strict, and after the time of burning chametz, they will not eat any other chametz except for the food for Shabbos. And they understand it to mean that what says you burn your chametz means you get rid of all your chametz and you leave only what you need for the two meals of Shabbos. And no afternoon snack on Friday afternoon. It's particularly when you have with kids, it's sometimes harder. It's harder in both ways. It's harder that they're upset that they can't have chametz. But it's also harder when kids can make a mess. And the Paiskim actually mentioned, at least we shouldn't give the kids chametz on that Friday afternoon. The kids are allowed to eat matzah. Matzah is only a problem for older children, not for younger children. After we finished, before we get to that, sorry. This, by the way, idea of not eating chametz afterwards is a very smart idea. Some people maintain that's the halacha. Some people hold it to chumrah, but it causes a lot of problems. Especially if the Rav already sold his chametz, now people are going to go now and eat chametz. Who's this chametz belong to? It belongs to the Rav, it belongs to the guy, it belongs to you. And then when you go and you buy chametz, if you go and buy chametz on Friday, so now what's going to happen with this chametz? This chametz is not going to be sold. So if there'll be leftover chametz, this could become a bit of a headache. So we have those chalas that we have just for the Shabbos meals. It's a good idea not to have any other chametz. After you finish burning your chametz, it's a regular day, it's a regular Friday. You're allowed to do malacha on that day. It's not like Erev Pesach, there's restrictions on doing work. Although when it comes to time of burning chametz, you shouldn't do any malacha until we finish burning our chametz. That is true, but otherwise there's no restriction other than the regular restrictions of every Erev Shabbos. The halacha is that from mincha, the time of mincha ktana, onwards one should refrain from doing intensive work which is not needed for Shabbos. If you didn't burn your chametz in the time that we mentioned, 11:49, you could still burn it throughout the day until sunset. You'll have to take it out of your possession. You'll have to put it into the street. Normally at a Pesach, after the time of beer chametz, after the cutoff time, you're stuck with the chametz. You have to destroy it. You can't make it only clear and ownerless and put it out into the street because it's too late now for that. But over here, it's not too late and until Shabbos. So as a technicality, we can't burn chametz on Shabbos, so we're burning it on Friday. But if a person didn't burn the chametz and they're still stuck with a lot of chametz, and they missed that time of 11:49, they have the entire Friday afternoon all the way till sunset, they could go and burn it, they could take it out of their property, etc. But normally when we burn the chametz, we say within a declaration of bittul, of nullification, of kol chamira. This time, we're not going to say the kol chamira when we burn the chametz, because we're still going to be eating chametz, so what are we nullifying? So we said the kol chamira Thursday night after Bedikas Chametz for the chametz that we didn't find. All the rest of the chametz, all the chametz, what I found, what I didn't find, what I know, what I don't know about, all that chametz, that kol chamira is going to be pushed off till Shabbos after the Suda Shabbos, Shabbos morning. So the only thing we say when we burn the chametz is the Yehi Ratzon, the special prayer that we say that Hashem should get rid of all the negativity within us. That we say when we burn our chametz on Friday, but the kol chamira is pushed off until Shabbos. And now when we're burning our chametz on Friday, of course, make sure to lock up everything you need to lock up. Put away your Shabbos food in a special place. Make sure it's in a special place. And not put away so well that you won't be able to open it on Shabbos. Because on Shabbos, you can't glue things. You can't knot things. You can't undo knots. Make sure you get rid of all your garbage, of all your vacuum cleaners. Have them all cleaned. All the regular stuff like you do on Erev Pesach. Lock it all up on Erev Shabbos. Normally when we burn a chametz, we shake our pockets out. That's done. This time it's not done Friday afternoon because we're still using our pockets. In case, who knows, well, we might have put in some piece of challah into our pockets. I hope you don't do that. So we're going to shake our pockets on Shabbos right before the cutoff time on Shabbos. The person didn't manage to sell his chametz, and it's Friday past 11:49, past the time of burning chametz. You should talk to a rav. There might be some rav that has a system that they go and they sell the chametz close to Shabbos. That's not the common way of doing things, but might some of them that have a different system might have some solutions for you. The person that managed to kasher his kelim, it's not Erev Pesach. You have all the way till Shabbos to kasher your kelim. One thing that it is like Erev Pesach is that those who bake matzah on Erev Pesach, we'll bake the matzah on Friday afternoon, even though it's not in a Pesach, they'll put on a Shabbos clothing, a Yontif clothing, and they'll say Hallel. Normally, when they bake their matzah, it's a bit of a complicated procedure to bake matzah on Erev Pesach, and you have to say that all the crumbs that fall to the floor become ownerless even before it becomes chametz. Once it's chametz, you can't make it ownerless Erev Pesach afternoon. So you say that you want it to become ownerless before it turns into chametz, before it has a chance to rise. This whole speech you don't have to say on Erev Shabbos because it's not yet Erev Pesach. So they go and they bake their matzah, do the regular stuff, and we have to start getting ready for the Karban Pesach. The Karban Pesach will be brought in Mitzvah Shem on Erev Shabbos, but anything that you can do before Shabbos, preparation work, doesn't push off Shabbos. So Mitzvah Shem Mashiach will come, and we have to go and get our sheep ready, get our knife ready, and sharpen the knife, and make the knife hegdish, and make sure there's no mum, blemish on the animal, all those stuff that we could do before Shabbos, we don't do on Shabbos. Erev Chatzeres is normally done on Erev Pesach. It doesn't have to be dafka done there, but that's the best time to do an Erev Chatzeres. In Kviyas like this year, usually we do it with matzah, we do it the day before Pesach, that's a good way to do it. This year it's done on Erev Shabbos. We use a matzah, although matzah cannot be eaten on Erev Pesach, so how could you use something that you can't even use on Shabbos? You won't be able to use the matzah. Okay, kids can use it, sick people can use it. You could use it if you put it in hot water. But there's a bunch of reasons why the matzah will still be legitimate for your Erev Chatzeres. But don't use the matzah that you set aside for the mitzvah, for the Seder, because that is actually not edible, because that you want for the matzah for the Seder. All the preparations for Yom Tov we're going to be doing on Erev Shabbos. So everything that we need for the Seder, the matzahs, the wine, opening the bottles, preparing all the stuff on the Kaira, roasting the Zeroya, the shank bone, checking your lettuce, drying your lettuce, grating the Charein, the horseradish, preparing the Charoises. When we talk about checking lettuce, a bunch of stuff that you can't do on Shabbos. So we check it, we dry it. Particularly, some people soak their lettuce. Now the halacha is if your lettuce is soaked, if the mutter is soaked, even if it's in cold water, for 24 hours, it's considered kavush. And something that's soaked is considered cooked, so you're having cooked mutter is not kosher for the mitzvah of mutter. So because you have a whole entire Shabbos over here and you're preparing all your lettuce on Friday, you have to make sure that they shouldn't stay in water. And if you put them in water, make sure they're out of the water before Shabbos. If you didn't take them out of on Shabbos, get it out of the water, ideally through a guy, but on Shabbos. Some people, there's different customs. When people grate their horseradish, some people cover it because they don't want to taste. It's supposed to be sharp. And some people say, well, don't keep it covered because it's going to be way too sharp. This year, for sure, one should cover it because it's a long wait from when we grated the horseradish on Friday until we're going to have it by the Seder night, and it might lose its taste and its sharpness. Checking the matzahs, there's some doubled over matzahs, some matzahs have bubbles, all those things we do on Friday. Peeling eggs for the Seder, we can't peel the eggs for the Seder on Friday because then it's going to be eggs that were peeled that stayed overnight. You're not allowed to eat eggs that were peeled and stayed overnight, and it's going to stay over the whole entire Friday night. It's a good idea, if at all possible, to prepare the table for the Seder already on Friday because it's going to come Shabbos, Matzah Shabbos, and you're going to want to start making the preparation for the Seder. And the table is not even ready yet, and the kids will fall asleep. Sometimes you can't do it because you're using the same exact room that you're going to be eating on Shabbos for your Shabbos meals, which are going to have chametz in it. You're going to be using the same table for the Seder meal, which is a challenge. So then you can't prepare it on Friday. But if it's a different room, then you can prepare the Seder table, not the Seder bowl, the kaira, that our customers we prepare right before the Seder, before Kiddush, but the general table could be made already. Erev Shabbos, we say Shnai Mikra Ve'Echa Targum, those who say, men that say that every single week, and we read the Haftarah, and over here we're going to say both Haftarahs, the weekly Haftarah and the special Haftarah for Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach. That falls on a Shabbos, so people go Shabbos morning to the mikvah. You go Friday to the mikvah, Erev Shabbos, you go Shabbos morning to the mikvah, and they don't have to go another time to the mikvah for Erev Yom Tov, obviously. And talking about mikvah, I'll mention the halacha, which is going to be relevant in Mitzvah Shem HaMashiach comes, is a special halacha that when it comes to Yom Tov, even people are not so particular in the laws of purity and impurity, and Yom Tov, everybody is considered pure, regarding the laws of holy stuff. So even our Amoritz is believed when it comes to issues of purity and impurity. Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, like Erev Pesach falls on a Shabbos, it's treated like Yom Tov. So that's in terms of purity for the Yom Tov. I'm still up to Friday. The regular Mincha, regular Hodu, regular Paschal Yol. And before Shabbos, all the new clothing, get rid of all the folds and wraps and all the stuff where it's packed together. Get rid of the cleaners, tickets, all the places that are sewed, tits that need to be tied or strengthened, that the knots need to be strengthened. Make sure all the kalim that need to be toiled and immersed are toiled before Shabbos. If you forgot to toil before Shabbos, it's a bit problematic. It's a challenge how to toil on Shabbos. You could technically fill up water from the mikveh and then use the water for something. It's a challenge. Another solution is to give it to a goy on a loan as a gift, and then you take it back as a loan, and then it doesn't have to be toiveled. But you still have to toivel it right after Yom Tov. That's a temporary solution for Shabbos and Yom Tov, but Matz Yom Tov has to be toiveled immediately. So just toivel your stuff before Shabbos. Separate challah. If the matzahs didn't have challah separated, the challahs didn't have challah separated. It's actually a problem, because if challah wasn't separated, it's forbidden to eat it, and you have to get rid of it and give it to a guy. Because normally, we'll separate challah in chutzlars, we'll separate challah afterwards, but over here, that's not going to work. Cutting all your tablecloths for Shabbos, preparing, it's a good idea to have on Friday, it's a good idea to prepare to have paper, cut towel paper. It was after the Shabbos meals, you might have to do some cleaning, and you have a roll of towel paper, have some pieces that are cut towel paper. One is allowed to take haircuts, cut nails, all of that on Friday afternoon. Your Shabbos clocks that you have in your house, make sure it fits in for a Shabbos and for 2 days Yom Tov. Give tzedakah for Shabbos and 2 days Yom Tov. Check your pockets before Shabbos, especially if you're wearing Shabbos clothing all Friday. If you brought new clothing for Yom Tov, it's better actually to wear the new Yom Tov clothing already for Shabbos, because it's more appropriate for the covenant of Shabbos not to wait until the next day of Yom Tov. Some people might not want to do that because they're worried that the clothing will be used for Chametz and they don't want to use it on Pesach. That's fine. Make sure you prepare there's fire, you need to light candles on Matzah Shabbos on the first night of Yom Tov and on the second night of Yom Tov. So on Erev Shabbos, you need to set up a fire, whether you leave the gas range on or whatever it is. Now, we're going to be eating the Shabbos meal Friday night. I'm not up to Friday night, but this is relevant to a licht mention that we're going to be doing Friday afternoon. Shabbos meal is supposed to be eaten where the candles are lit, and the right idea is when you make kiddush, you're supposed to look at the candles. So you should try that for the meal, you should have at least one candle that you made a bracha on and should be able to be visible by the meal. So try to light the candles close to the place we're going to be making kiddush and eating, or at least the place we're going to be eating the bread, so you'll be able to see the candles from there. At least if the light comes from there, even if you don't see the actual candles themselves, you can see the light of the candles. At least during the time of making kiddush and eating the bread, that's the way it should be done. Now, really, you should eat the whole Friday night meal in front of to the light of the candles, but that we could rely on electricity, especially if we're doing our meal in a bit of an interesting way, because we want to be careful with chametz. So at least for kiddush and for the bread. You can't move candlesticks on Shabbos. You can't move a tablecloth which candlesticks were on. So if you're going to put your candles on the table, you want to get rid of the crumbs on Shabbos. So we need to come with a creative solution. One solution is you put a plastic tablecloth, put the candles at the edge of the table, and the plastic tablecloth only goes till the place of the candles. So I guess you can remove the tablecloth, plastic tablecloth, easily to get rid of all your chametz. Alternatively, you put on the tablecloth, a plastic tablecloth on the entire table, cut out around the area where the candles are, so you can just get rid of the rest of the tablecloth. Some people will use disposable candles. Some people will put down a sefer on the table so they can later move the table. So just take into account all these things when you're going to be lighting candles Friday afternoon. I'm up to Friday night, and it's Friday night, and we had a hectic Friday preparing all for the Seder, and I realized I didn't put my lettuce away in the fridge, and our custom is not to eat mutter on Erev Pesach, so I'm not going to be eating this lettuce on Shabbos. Am I allowed to put it into the fridge? Is it muktzah? Is it prepared for Yom Tov? No, it's not a problem. You're allowed to put it into the fridge, it's not muktzah. Coming to the meal Friday night, I hear it's going to get a bit interesting. So you make kiddush. What are you going to use? What kind of becher, what kind of cup, goblet for the wine are you going to use? So you can use a disposable. a nice, beautiful, disposable becher, or use a Pesach Liger becher, just to make sure it doesn't touch the bread. Or you can use a Chametz Liger becher, a regular becher they use throughout the year, but after Kiddush, you'll put away with all the Chametz Liger kelim. Some people have this minig, and it's wrote in Pesachim, that they leave some of the wine from Kiddush to use later for Havdalah. So part of the wine they use for Kiddush on Friday night, a Shabbos day, they use for Havdalah later. If you're going to be using a Chametz Liger becher, don't do that. Because Havdalah is going to be when it's already Pesach, and Kiddush was when you're using a Chametz Liger becher. Try to set up your washing station close to the place where you're eating, but if that's not possible, and sometimes in this setup that we have, we have to eat our challah and trying to eat in a different place. So if the person is walking from when he washed till when he ate, there's a distance where you have to walk, and for the purpose of the meal, it's not considered an interruption. If you can, of course, that's great, but if you can't avoid that, that's fine. Make sure the place we're eating challah is not a place which is windy where crumbs will fly around. Make sure it's a place which is easy to clean. Don't eat it on a carpet. Don't eat on a chair that has a bunch of places, you know, grooves where the crumbs could fall in. Make sure no chametz sticks to your clothing. Of course, don't use a Pesach Liger knife to cut your challah. One has to eat at least a bit more than the volume of an egg, a kebeah, of bread. Each kezayis, which is a half a kebeah, should be eaten within a couple of minutes. And the two kezayisim are eaten one after another. So a kebeah consists of two kezayisim. So you need to eat that amount. You can't say, oh, you have to eat a tiny bit of challah, but it has to be enough that you can make a bracha on Tehillas Yadayim, make a mitzi, and benching. So it's not a lot, but the volume of the kebeah should be eaten. Some people prefer to use a room which is being sold out, that all the chametz are there, sold out, and the room is rented out for the goy as part of the sale, and the goy gives you permission to come and temporarily on Shabbos to eat your meals there. It does. It helps your peace of mind, but it doesn't really help in terms of halacha. All the details that were in the mentioning about getting rid of the chametz and all of that, all those stuff have to happen even if you're eating in that room, because after all, the sale already happened on Friday. Now on Shabbos, you have new chametz over here, and that chametz is not part of the sale. And even if it is part of the sale, once you start eating from it, that creates a new challenge. So therefore, you might want to eat in that room. That's fine. It's not the room that you're going to be going into on Pesach, so you're more comfortable doing that. But still, that doesn't mean you don't have to be careful with all the halachas that we're going through. The challenge on a Erev Pesach falling down on Shabbos with a Suda Shabbos is that there's a number of halachas that we have to be careful with throughout the year, and here it could become a bit difficult. People don't like eating in their dining room for understandable reasons. But you want to make sure that you make Kiddush in the same place where you eat the meal, because that's not fulfill. You don't fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush unless it's in the place where you're going to have a sud, where you're going to have a meal of bread. Now, there's a problem of changing places in the meal, a question of a bracha. You're supposed to bench in the place where you ate bread. If you stop to eat bread, there becomes a whole question about everything else in the meal. Do you make a bracha on all the food in the meal? So there's all these different challenges. So if a person could manage and eat the entire meal in one room, eat a full Shabbos meal with basar v'dag with fish and meat, whatever, everything. If you can do that, great. But for some people, that's a bit of a challenge, especially with kids. So they want to, after they eat their bread, they want to go to another room and eat their Pesach Liger food. Then if that's the case, they should go back before benching and eat a tiny bit more bread back in the first place. Alternatively, I'm not sure, such a smarter solution, eat bread in the first room. And then in the second room, where you're going to be eating all your Pesach dishes, eat a tiny little bit of piece of bread far away from the dishes and far away from the table, and then you'll eat over there your Pesach Liger meal and bench over there. That doesn't sound so practical. Sometimes none of these solutions could work, especially if it's Shabbos day. It's almost the time you can't have chametz anymore. So quickly make your kiddush, eat a piece of bread, bench, and then eat the rest of the meal. And if even that doesn't work, you need to have something after kiddush, either some bread, because kiddush has to be in the place of a meal, or another cup of wine. So take another cup of wine right after kiddush, and then later you'll have your full place of the meal, whatever works. The halacha is that if a person made kiddush in one room and then they went to eat bread in another room, after the fact, you don't have to make kiddush again if that was part of your plan. But l'chatchila, you're not allowed to do that. So you can't make kiddush in one room and then decide to go eat the bread in another room, unless, like I said, you took another cup of wine. If you're going from one house to another house, or even from a house to a yard, if it's a place to a backyard, to a courtyard, if it's a place that you can't see the place of the kiddush from that courtyard, It doesn't help the fact that you plan to do that. You have to make again Kiddush. Kiddush has to be in the place of a meal, either a meal of a cup of wine or bread or mezainis. So if you're going to be making Kiddush, some people do that. They're going to make Kiddush in the dining room. Then they're going to the backyard of there. They're going to eat the bread. It doesn't work if you can't see one place from the other. When it comes to kids, it's not a good idea to kids that are under the age of chinuch to give them chametz. Just give them basically the food. You're allowed to give them matzah. Kids that are already at the age of chinuch, they probably should eat a proper Shabbos meal with bread. Just don't give them a full meal. You could give them only kazayas. When you eat only kazayas, you don't make a bracha until it's time. Okay, so give them at least the kazayas. Some people eat in their gardens, and that's a problem if water drips there. Ideally, you should be careful that even other liquids shouldn't drip. It's best not to eat in a garden if you're going to be using water there, because it's very hard to be careful the water shouldn't fall. Matzahs that you're using for the Seder are muktzah on Shabbos. Matzahs, general matzahs, are not muktzah because you give it to kids. So if a person, unless a person has a lot of matzah, he has matzah for the Seder, but he has so much he doesn't really care to give it to kids. So, but otherwise, matzahs that's particularly set aside for the Seder, those are muktzah. So you can't use those matzahs for Lechem Mishnah. You can use regular matzahs and join the Lechem Mishnah if you don't have enough bread, but make sure your matzah doesn't touch your challah. Women during the eating on Shabbos should not wear jewelry that has already been cleaned from chametz. Now, if a person has now dishes which has chametz, for some reason, they were told you should make Pesach the food, but for some reason they didn't listen to the rules, and they have stuck now with dishes which have chametz on it. So if you can wipe it off, you're supposed to wipe it off and not wash it, because you're not washing it for Shabbos. If you can't wipe it off, then you're allowed to rinse it on Shabbos. Pesach the kelim, there's no hetzer to rinse on Shabbos, because you're not allowed to rinse things that you don't need for the meal. It's not for Shabbos. You don't need dishes anymore for eating. If you want to pour soup from a Pesach the pot into a chametz the bowl, that's a problem, because you might make your Pesach the pot chametz thing. You can pour into a disposal, you can pour into another dish, and from there pour it inside into the chametz sigah thing. After we finished eating, so if a person uses disposables and they have a place where there's an eruv, so they can throw it all out, not into their own garbage can, but in a place which is ownerless, in a place where there's no eruv, so either they will have to wash the dishes like we said before, or use disposables and wipe them down and throw out the paper towel into the bathroom, or pour some bleach into it. But if we follow the standard custom, they eat only kosher to give basically the food, and the only thing you're eating is a piece of bread, and the bread you're eating in a napkin, all you have to do is take the napkin. That's the best solution. That's the right solution. Everything is basically the food except for your pita bread or your challah. Eat that in the napkin, take the leftover crumbs and the napkin, put them to the bathroom, just make sure your toilet doesn't get stuffed up. When you finish eating Friday night, make sure all the chametz you have for Shabbos day is put aside in a special place, that it shouldn't be schlepped around through kids, through mice, etc. And after you eat your chametz, make sure you rinse your hands very well before you touch your Pesach the dishes and Pesach the food. Shake your clothing, there's folds in your pants, your pockets, your beard. Shake it all out, clean it all out, rinse your face and hand. Don't shake it off, of course, near the Pesach the dishes. Make sure your kids have all these things. You finish your challah, you're going to move on to the rest of the menu. That's fine, and make sure that you get rid of all the chametz and the crumbs. And people who have fillings should clean their mouth very, very well after they eat their chametz. They shouldn't eat sharp food after they eat their chametz. Some people might want to eat only the soft part of the bread, so they shouldn't have crumbs. They might want to soften their bread and water, etc. Someone who didn't do bedikas chametz Thursday night, and he remembers Friday night after the Shabbos meal. So you can do bedikas chametz without a bracha in rooms which have electric candles there. Rooms that have windows, you could do. Rooms that have electricity lit there, so you could use electricity instead of candles. Rooms that are near a window, you could be Beit Chametz Shabbos day. All other places, you'll have to wait until it's the night of the Seder, because then you can move a candle. I'm moving on the schedule. This was Friday night. We're moving on to Shabbos day, Shabbos morning. Shabbos morning, we wake up very, very early because we have to finish our meal early. From what I understand, this year in 770, we'll be davening a bit earlier than normal, 7:30 a.m. An early minyan. Last time I've seen people down on Shabbos morning, 7:30, has been 4 years ago. I think then it was 7:45. The Chazan is instructed we shouldn't daven long, because you don't want people, Chas Shalom, to come to an Isra to eat chametz, but that doesn't mean you should rush your davening in an inappropriate way. So we have the regular davening of Shabbos morning. We have a special haftarah for Shabbos Hagadol Erev Pesach. And we come to the Suda Shabbos. In this Suda Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat matzah t'halachi. You can't eat matzah Erev Pesach. Like I said, our customers, we don't eat from Purim onwards. So we can eat chametz again. And we can have lechem mishnah. And we have to finish eating our chametz by 10:42 in the morning. So it's a bit of a tight schedule. 7:30 is shacharis. At 10:42, you have to finish your chametz. When you finish eating before the time of 10:42 in Quranite's time, clean your mouth, clean your teeth. Use toothpicks in a way that doesn't cause you to bleed. Make sure there's no chametz stuck there. You can use dental floss, which has already been pre-cut. If a person always bleeds, then that's a problem. But otherwise, you can use, like I said, dental floss, toothpicks. You could use your fingers, rinse your mouth very, very well before there comes a time of sav zman achilas chametz. You can't use toothpaste, you can't use a toothbrush. If a person, when he uses a toothbrush, even if it's dry, will bleed, because they always bleed, they can't use a toothbrush either. Even if a person doesn't normally bleed, there should be a special toothbrush that's a Shabbos like a toothbrush. And you later rinse it out afterwards because you're worried about chametz and put it aside with all the dishes, all the stuff that are being sold to the guy. People that have false teeth, braces, and all of that, they'll go and wash their mouth off with hot water, not in a way they're going to harm themselves. And from after the time, 10:42, now you can eat kosher Pesach food. The person didn't bench yet, so it's 10:42, you finished chametz, but you're still in the middle of the meal. You don't, as long as you didn't move away from the table, you don't need to make a new bracha, so you're still part of the meal right now. There's foods that you can't eat, which is matzah, nuts, apples, as mentioned, but all other Pesach foods can be eaten, all in the same meal. If someone unfortunately woke up late on this Shabbos, the Shabbos that everybody wakes up early, he woke up very late, and he realizes that it's almost the time of Shabbos Van Achilus Chametz, he wants to eat a Suda Shabbos, he not only eat bread before davening. If he woke up so late, it's already past the time of Achilus Chametz, so he can't eat a Suda Shabbos. He'll make Kiddush and take another cup of wine. We'll have to have fish, meat. It's a good idea to have the fruit that you're making in an Allah eats. At least you can make such a special bracha achreina. It's a good idea to eat dates. Dates is filling on some level. Potatoes is filling on some level, but it's not going to be bread. So only start in the washing of challah for Shabbos. We mentioned Sogzman Achilus Chametz HaShabbos, which is 10:42 over here in Kran Hayit. There's also Bittel Chametz, and that's 11:48. So, person has to get. We have to get rid of all the chametz that we have, and we can't put it in a place that's sold to a goy. We could take the dishes, the clean dishes, and the tablecloths, and put them away after we clean them very well. But we have to get rid of all the chametz. Otherwise, you're allowed to, even if it's after the time of eating chametz, you're allowed to move the chametz. It's not muktzah because you could give it to a goy, you could give it to an animal. Only after the time of beer chametz, 11:48 onwards, then it's muktzah. So now you'll take all the chametz dishes and clean them well, shake out the tablecloth, put away the tablecloth in a place you're not going to go on Pesach, or just use disposal like a lot of people do. And the chalas people are eating on tissues. And now technically the crumbs you can throw on the floor, but you're not supposed to be throwing it on the floor because people step on the floor, so that technically should be okay. Especially our floors, it's not a good idea to do that. Just take all the crumbs, throw it to the bathroom. Or if there's an Eidiv, you could take it out of your property. Or you could put it into a place which has bleach and it's going to become all pogum, it's going to become all stale and inedible. You can't take the bleach and move it on Shabbos because it smokes it in a place which is prepared with bleach there already. You can't throw the chametz into your garbage can or to any other Jew's garbage can. Unless it's a garbage can that belongs to the city and it's a place where you're allowed to carry, you could throw the chametz there. You can clean very well the area in which chametz was eaten. You're going to sweep everything up and you take the broom afterwards and you'll put it amongst the chametz and the kelim. You'll shake after you shake before the crumbs in the bathroom and you can't wash the floor on Shabbos. You'll put away all the last things that you have to put away. You'll lock everything up. No glue, no knots. You can make a bow. Check all the pockets right now. And now comes bittel chametz. Now we're going to nullify the chametz. So every Erev Pesach, we nullify the chametz. This year, we burned the chametz the day before. We weren't supposed to nullify the chametz then. If you did, doesn't matter. You still should nullify it now. You say the regular kol chamira without the yiratzah, which you don't say on Shabbos, which you said it on Friday. And it's very important to remember to do this nullification of chametz because this is not the time of burning chametz, people might forget. Normally, Kol Chamida said when you're burning chametz, now that you're not burning the chametz, so people might forget Kol Chamida. It's a good idea to get the whole family together, make a Kol Chamida song, a Kol Chamida skit, a Kol Chamida play, whatever it is, get the whole family together to say Kol Chamida. And the Kol Chamida should be said before the time when you have to get rid of your chametz, which should be said at 11:48. You forgot to get rid of your chametz, it's already 11:48, it's muktzah. You have to cover it with a dish, and you'll burn on Matzah Yom Tov. The Rebbe on Erev Pesach fell on a Shabbos at 12:30 in the afternoon in the year Tavshim Amalf. We found out that the Rebbe was going to Fabrengen at 1:30. It was a surprise Fabrengen. The Rebbe told the secretary a few hours before, but he told him not to tell it, not to publicize it. It was a very small crowd there. It was a very unusual kind of Fabrengen. There was no wine because it was an issue with drinking wine on Erev Pesach, and the Rebbe didn't want to go into any shilas. The Rebbe had a plate with a couple of bananas and a jug of water. The Fabrengen finished at 4:00. It was a very unusual Fabrengen, like I said. They sang the Ningen Achanan, Al Terebes Ningen, and that was when everybody saw they're going to have a very, very good Shabbos Shlach because they finished the meal very early Shabbos morning. Shalosh Shudas, we normally don't eat Shalosh Shudas anyhow. We just have to eat something small, so this Shabbos, same thing, fish, meat, fruit, whatever it is. Because it's Erev Pesach, so we have to be careful that we have a good appetite. So we're not supposed to, from the 10th hour of the day over here, it's about 4:15. You're not supposed to fill yourself up from other foods in order to have an appetite for the Seder. That's why it's an issue of drinking wine as well. I mean, you can't make preparations from Shabbos to Yom Tov, so all preparations for the Seder, you have to wait until Matzah Shabbos, like setting up tables, chairs, all that kind of stuff. It might be a good idea to go to sleep, so you should be up by night for the Seder. Chassidim don't particularly, you're not so into sleeping on Shabbos, but at least get your kids to go to sleep. If you are going to sleep Shabbos afternoon, don't say that you're going to sleep to be up by the Seder, because you're not supposed to verbally express the idea that you're preparing from Shabbos to Yom Tov. Don't change your Shabbos clothing to Yom Tov's clothing until it's night, because it looks like you're preparing from Shabbos to Yom Tov. Unless you're changing it early in the day, it doesn't look like it's being done for Yom Tov, it looks like you're using it today. As mentioned earlier, it's even better if you change into Yom Tov clothing ready before Shabbos, l'kavod Shabbos Kodesh, unless you're concerned it's going to get chametz today. We daven mincha a bit earlier because we're supposed to say the special Seder Karban Pesach before Shkia 7:32 over here in Crown Heights. And we say also the Haggadah after mincha. The Haggadah said right after mincha, and then we say Seder Karban Pesach, unless time is short, so Seder Karban Pesach will come first. When we read the Seder Karban Pesach, I'm not going to go into the details right now, there are changes in the way the Karban Pesach was brought this year. We don't make any changes in the Nusra of the Seder Karban Pesach, although we don't roast the Karban on Shabbos, and we don't bring a Karban Chagigi this year, but we say the regular Nusra like always. Comes Matzah Shabbos, you can't do any Malacha, you need to say Havdalah, or Davin Ma'irim and say Vatei Dienu, or at least say the words Baruch HaMavad L'Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. Throughout, by the Seder, we have the shank bone and the egg. That's corresponding to the Karban Pesach and the Karban Chagiga. Although this year there's no Karban Chagiga, we still make this regular Zeich like every year. It shouldn't look like it's really a Karban. We're going to be saying Havdalah by the Seder. It'll be Yak Nahaz, Yayin Kiddush Ner Havdalah Zman, which means Beir Pri Agafen, the Bracha of Kiddush, the Bracha of Meir Ha'esh, the Bracha of Havdalah, Mavad Mekiddush L'Kiddush, and Shechiyanu. And women who will normally make their own Kiddush will make their own Havdalah too. Shechiyanu, it's a good idea to make the Shechiyanu before the husband says Shechiyanu. They can drink their cup and they can even answer Amen on the Shechiyanu of their husband. We don't put the candles together by Havdalah. We don't look at our nails. We don't extinguish the candles. We just look at the candles and we don't, without the candles being attached to each other. If someone forgets to make Havdalah, the complicated halacha what you do by the Seder, I'm not going to go into that right now. The one change that's done in the Haggadah this year is that in the Bracha of Gol Yisrael, we changed the order. We don't say min hazvachim and min hapsachim, we say min hapsachim and min hazvachim. Because we don't have the Karma Chagiga, and that changes everything around. This year, Chol HaMoed, there's no Shabbos in the middle of Chol HaMoed. And if Pesach was on Shabbos, Shvi'i Shel Pesach was on Shabbos, is a full Chol HaMoed. Some people might look at that as it's a great opportunity for trips, of course, and that's a good idea to take your family and enjoy some Yom Tov. But the Rebbe also spoke about the fact that in such a year, there's a full time you can sit and learn Torah one day after another. That shows that we have to use the Pesach to add Lumina Torah, especially on Chol HaMoed, which was there primarily for the end of Lumina Torah. As I mentioned, Shvi'i Shel Pesach is on Shabbos, so we're going to check our clothing on Friday, Erev Shvi'i Shel Pesach. And on the night of Shvi'i Shel Pesach is going to be a Shabbos Digger Davening and a Yom Tov Digger Davening. And we're going to say Shalom Aleichem quietly. the night of Acher Shal Pesach, we're going to again make Havdalah again, and we're going to have to say Baruch HaMav if we do any work, and again we're going to say Vateidienu, and when we're going to make Kiddush on the night of Acher Shal Pesach, that's going to be a special Kiddush in our Kned Lach meal, we're going to have to make Havdalah there also, and that's going to be Yayin Kiddush Ner Havdalah, similar to the first night of Pesach without the Shechianu, because there's no Shechianu in Acher Shal Pesach. The reason why we don't say Shechianu in Acher Shal Pesach is because Acher Shal Pesach is associated with the Gula, and we can't say the Shechianu unless we actually have the Gula with us presently. We can't say the Shechianu. That's one of the reasons we don't say Shechianu in Acher Shal Pesach. This year, we're looking forward very much that we'll be able to touch the Gula, and we'll be able to say Vigiyanu will have the Gula in a tangible way, and therefore, we hopefully will say the Shechianu way earlier. Eivishter gave a special halachas that we don't have any other year because Eivishter loves Kali Son and gives him a lot of Torah and mitzvahs, and he made a special halachas. We normally have to learn halachas 30 days before Yom Tov. Certainly in a year like this, we need to learn, pay extra attention to learn these halachas. The Rebbe spoke about making meetings for Tzivos Hashem and telling them there's a new, in the ward, there's a new front that opened up this year, and that's the front of the halachas of Erev Pesach that falls on Shabbos. The Rebbe asked the Rabbanim to talk about these halachas, publicize these halachas. I mentioned in the beginning of the class that this year is more opportune time for Gula. And one of the Svarim says that it says if Yidu would keep two Shabbosim properly, it would be redeemed. The two Shabbosim are the Shabbos of Erev Pesach when it falls on a Shabbos. And the Shabbos of Pesach, Pesach is also referred to as Shabbos, in Macheras HaShabbos. So if we have these two Shabbosim, that gives us Gula. The Rebbe spoke about the fact that if Pesach falls on a Macheras HaShabbos, we don't bring the Karma Chagiga. We don't worry about Karma Chagiga. Is normally that you should be full before you eat the Karma Pesach. This year, we don't have to worry about that because that's a year which represents the fact that our body is fully refined. And when eating the Karma Pesach itself, that itself makes us full. And if it's a very appropriate year to have the revelations of Mashiach. So, Leib Shalom, Shabizeh, the Gula, Mitzvah, Ashlema. And for further information, the Mitzvah Shem, the Pesach guide will be out with all these halachas, Lineder in print. And you can check more information there. Agutanacht, and thank you for the organizer.